Welcome to Reality NSFW. We are talking Big Brother 23 preseason coverage. But before we get started, we're going to talk a little bit about one of our sponsors, and that is NordVPN. Nord is going to help you get secure and private access to the internet. They're a VPN service that gives you a secure encrypted tunnel for online traffic to flow. Nobody can see through a tunnel and get their hands on your internet data. NordVPN is the best VPN if you're looking for peace of mind when you use public Wi-Fi, access personal and work accounts on the road, or just want to keep your browsing history to yourself. They're going to help you protect all your devices. Do you use Windows at work, macOS at home, and Linux for special projects? That's no problem. There's a NordVPN application for each of these. Plus, there's apps for iOS, Android, and Android TV. Oh, there's also encrypted proxy extensions for Chrome and Firefox. Plus, best of all, with one NordVPN account, you can secure up to 6 devices at the same time. Enjoy a fast and stable connection anywhere. Buffering can be the ultimate buzzkill, so streaming and downloading files with a slow internet connection is not an option, but no worries, you just need a NordVPN service that offers fast connection with no limits on bandwidth. Choose from over 5,500 NordVPN servers in 59 countries and enjoy the fastest VPN experience. Having more servers means less load, and the wide variety of locations means there's a higher chance you'll find one nearby wherever you are. We're talking fast servers. You can unlock Netflix and your favorite entertainment websites. You get a 30-day money-back guarantee. They'll protect your data while you're traveling or in public, whether you're at an airport, coffee shop, wherever. They've got a cybersec suite that acts as an ad blocker. You're going to get a faster connection with NordLynx. There's no data logging, 24/7 customer support, up to 6 simultaneous connections, and double data encryption for increased anonymity. And guess what? We got a special deal for all of our listeners. If you love this podcast, you're going to go to nordvpn.com/survivornsfw and use the code survivornsfw at checkout to get a 2-year plan with a huge discount plus an additional month for free. That's NordVPN, NordVPN /survivornsfw. And be sure to use that code survivornsfw to get a 2-year plan with a huge discount, plus one additional month for free. NordVPN.com/SurvivorNSFW, and that code is SurvivorNSFW. Yo, welcome back to Survivor NSFW. I mean, Reality NSFW. Not too many times. The countdown is on to Big Brother 23. And before our coverage here on Reality NSFW begins, Johnny Fairplay and I are going to be talking some Big Brother with some BB All-Stars. Joining us today, we got a very special guest, yo. You may know him from the Bayonne Nipple Company or from his time as a crayon salesman, but you probably know him best as the Meow Meow. He made us laugh all summer. It's Enzo. Enzo, how you doing, man?
Let's go, man. No, I'm good to be here, bro. I haven't seen Johnny in so long. It's been a minute, man.
The last time I saw you was in Virginia, which is my home state.
Yeah.
There was a lot of moonshine involved.
Yeah, we were hit. Yeah, can we curse on this? I don't know, cursing.
Yeah, it's NSFW. Fuck yes. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. No, we were fucking lit that weekend, bro. It was a good time, and I remember Andy Dick trying to grab Hayden's dick at that bar we were at. It was insane.
Oh my god! Like if that's the go-to memory that you're sticking with, I fucking love it. I mean, we had the first time we met was right after your time on your first Big Brother in Vegas. We did the Vegas Bash together.
Yeah, that was fun too. That was like. Fucking, I don't even know what 200 people was out that night, and that whole weekend it was just crazy. It was insane. I didn't sleep for like 4 days. I was a mess, man.
And then, you know, fast forward, we do an event in Virginia, like literally like 2 hours from my house, and I show up there, and there's the Meow Meow, and I'm just like, oh fuck. It's over. It's over.
You were like, I remember you said this to me. You're like, I thought you were like an asshole, but you're kind of like, you're okay. And you're like, I don't like you as much. Because I made Brittany cry on my season. Like, I liked you more. Like, you were more of a villain. Now you're like too good. Like, you're a good guy.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, I was a Britney fan, so you had me there. And then Britney in real life, I mean, like, because I met her at the Vegas Bash, and I was just like, oh, you know, she's a sweet. She wasn't that nice.
Oh, yeah? She wasn't that nice out there. And I ever since that season, I think I kept in touch with her maybe for like a year or two. And then that was it. Yeah, it was a wrap. I haven't talked to her in a while.
There you go. I mean, but you guys fresh off the show, it's a crazy deal because, I mean, I met Evil Dick. I'd met him prior to his time on Big Brother, but I met him like right after. And like we had like a private deal, like the Rainbow Room. Had just like an outside little area for us to talk. And I'm just like, how's it going? He goes, I think I'm good. I'm just like, I'm pretty sure you're fucked up. And he's like, I'm not fucked up. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, like, it's cool. I mean, like, it takes time to decompress from.
Yeah. I'm still decompressing from this season. I'm like, I haven't been to work. I'm just chilling. I'm like, I made some good money this time. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm taking off. We're in the middle of a pandemic. I'm fucking homeschooling my kids. I don't know what's going on right now, but I'm chilling, bro.
All right. So are you ready to make that big move?
What the big move? What
in the game? Like you kept saying big moves. I was
the big move. Yeah, look, hey, bro. Every move I made was a move, man. That's why I got to the end, man.
It was a move. But we heard the promises of big moves, and I'm sitting there and just like I was like, I met this guy. I know this guy. I like this guy. Where's the big moves? And then we,
I mean, they got me. A lot of people. The big critique I get. Is the when there was Dave and Nicole there, and everyone wanted me to get rid of, you know, that was the feedback. Everyone wanted me to get rid of Nicole, which, trust me, I want to get rid of Nicole. She's a champion. She's won this. But at that point, man, it was just, if I get rid of Nicole, and it's just like, to me, Nicole was a target at that point now for me to hide behind. She was a target. Plus, I had her in my pocket because of Cody. And Cody could control her. Dave, to me, was a wild card. I didn't know where he was at, what he was doing. This guy's taking money in competitions on a block. I'm like, this guy, he'll do anything. You can't control this kid. You don't know what he's going to do. And then I saw he was really close with Christmas and Tyler. And I was like, that's trouble for me. Because I know if I'm sitting next to Dave on a block, I'm gone, yo. I'm gone. You know what I mean? So trust me, if that was 2 weeks prior to that, Dave was gone. At that moment, I changed my mind. Because even when I cast that vote and I'm in a deal, I'm like this. I'm just like, I know America doesn't want to see this. I know they don't want to see this. But I'm like, for my gameplay, I got to do this. This is going to get me to the final three. Because I know Nicole is going to win in HOH and she's going to save me. I just knew it. Dave wasn't winning nothing. I love the dude. I love it. He was just a deer in headlights, bro. It was just a lot for him.
Yeah, I mean, despite how much we wanted Enzo to make a big move, also, I think it's been on the podcast while we were covering it. I think you could play Big Brother 100 times. I think you'd get to the final three like 90 times out of 100. Very impressive.
Everyone always discredits me. Everyone thinks I don't know what I'm doing. And I use that to my advantage all the time. If I play this game again, I'll get to the final three again. I'm telling you, I will. Yeah. There's a good chance I will.
And final three pays well.
Not this season it did, but not like a regular rookie season.
Well, I mean, but you ain't what if you go back, you're playing a regular rookie season? I don't think so.
If I was to get a chance to go back, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some other people in that house that's played before, you know?
Yeah, so the money's there.
If you would have won the first time, Andy Dick would have been trying to grab your dick, so that's a win.
That's what I'm trying to say. So at least I escaped that.
Yeah. we can blame Sugar from Survivor for that.
Yes.
Wow, what a fucking weekend. What was the crazy other than that, what was the craziest thing that happened that weekend?
Yeah, that weekend was, I just remember that, and Hayden like came up to me and he was just like, dude, try grabbing my dick. He was all fucked up. I was like, what are you gonna do? I mean, it is what it is. It's a fucking party, man, you know. But I was there with my ex-wife. My ex-wife was there at that time.
Oh, my.
She came down. Yeah, and I mean, I had a lot of fun with her. And down there, but we smoked so much weed. We fucking drank. I mean, it was just a mess, bro, but it was fun. It was fun, man.
I mean, nothing screams charity event like smoking a lot of weed and moonshine. There you
go. Virginia, my first time in Virginia. That was the last time I was there. I got to hit it again, man.
I met Chase Rice for the first time, like right when I saw you.
Yeah, and, yeah, he was there that weekend. Yeah, some of my American Idol people were there. Yep.
Yeah, it was crazy. Chase Rice, like, so he was on Survivor, this, you know, pre-Chase Rice being, you know, this country music superstar. And it said on his bio on Survivor, you know, NASCAR pit crew. And so, you know, I walk up, he's like, oh my God, Johnny Fairplay, I fucking love you. And I was like, whoa. I was like, he goes, is that moonshine? I'm like, yeah. I got one question only, and there's only one wrong answer. It says NASCAR pit crew on your thing at the bottom of your cryon on Survivor. Who are you a NASCAR pit crew guy for? Only one wrong answer. He goes, dude, Jimmy Johnson, brother. I'm like, that is the only wrong fucking answer. You could have said Dick Trickle and you're drinking moonshine. Jimmy Johnson, fuck that dude. He's like, you don't like Jimmy? No.
Yeah, but he's like a country. He is like a country fucking rock star now.
Oh, dude, him and fucking Dierks Bentley did this white V-neck T-shirt tour, and they were just slaying. But I mean, Dierks is married, so he wasn't. But
no, but I heard his music. Like, yo, the dude's talented. He's talented, man. You know, that's awesome, man. You know.
And plus, he made a shitload even before he really launched his thing, because that song Cruise by Florida Georgia Line, he was the co-writer for that.
Oh, shit. Look at this dude. Multi-talented.
Oh,
look
killing
at this guy.
It.
See?
Yeah. At one time,
stigma away from reality TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you would think he would have hit right after Survivor. And no, it was you know, a couple years down the road. But yeah, that Cruise was at one time like the most downloaded song on iTunes.
Yeah, like I said, I was sitting next to him on the plane. I think was it or I think it was, right? I don't know. I it was either the plane there or when I landed. It was something. I think it was a connecting flight or something, and he was on the connecting flight with me. We flew somewhere and I was like sitting next to him, and he came up to me, and I'm like, and he's a huge star now. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. Which I'm happy for, man. I'm happy for him.
I'm happy for everybody. That's my thing. Yeah. Like, I love LA. I want everybody to just make a shitload of money and invite me to places.
Yeah, like, let me come party and chill. I don't give a shit. Yeah, I don't care, you know? How many times did you play Survivor?
Twice. Well, technically once, but but technically twice. I played once. I was on twice.
You were on twice.
All right. I got
usually
my leg.
They bring people back, all right? Don't they like bring people back more than Big Brother does?
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good. Hey, I got a question. You like
the T-shirt? The commission. Oh, that's Memphis and Cody there. That's Cody in Memphis there. All right, yeah.
Yeah, I would have made a wise guy shirt, but I would have had to make two variants. And the shitty sales on this T-shirt decided that I don't need to make any other T-shirts with any of you motherfuckers because they don't sell.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. So, Enzo, all season, I was of the opinion that my now good friend Memphis Garrett was an asshole. I no longer have this opinion. What was Memphis like in the house? As Johnny all season regaled us with tales of how great Memphis was, and we got none of that.
Yeah. So real quick, Enzo, just to preface this. So, you know, I met Memphis back in the day, and when I lived in Los Angeles, you know, he was a mixologist, but you know, he's just running club. And you know, and he always took care of me. He was a cool dude. And then, like right before All Stars, we were Hearts of Reality. A bunch of survivors in Memphis went to this one sushi place, and Memphis is like, fuck this shit. This shit sucks. Let's go to a fucking another sushi place. I'm buying. Let's go to a real fucking place. And then we went to another place. It's fucking awesome. Like, you know, fucking $500 tab. He's like, I got it. And I'm just like, my boy, and Matt Bischoff from Survivor, he was just like, dude, the guy's cool as fuck. So So me and Zach are covering Big Brother, and Matt's like, Memphis is on this season? And we're like, yeah. And he goes, oh, man. He goes, I didn't know Memphis. He's like, that guy's cool as fuck. Let me watch. And so they're both watching it. They're just like, this dude's an asshole. I'm just like, he's cool as fuck. Like, so then afterwards, Zach did the last Hearts of Reality. Yeah. Got to meet Memphis. He went to dinner with me, Christmas in Memphis. And he was like, this dude is fucking cool.
Did you just almost call Christmas Krampus? That was pretty good. No, it was one of the really like good elements of this season. Last season, I mean, was that we had like the showdown of three of the greatest like second place finishers of all time, of like Cody, Memphis, Enzo. How's this going to end up? And like, I think that Memphis came out the worst of the three. So.
Yeah, I didn't like from his season. I told Memphis on the season. I was like, I really didn't like him on his season because the whole him and Dan trying to like mess with the old guy at the end there in the final three, like kind of just like, bro, he's like 80 years old, this guy or whatever he was. Like, you know, they were just like kind of like mocking him a little bit, which I didn't like. But I love Memphis on this season. I love him. Like, I thought he was funny. I thought like me and him had like we had our own like respect for each other. Where it was like, look, bro, I'm not coming after you. You go do your thing. I do my thing. When the time's right, we'll join forces and do what we got to do. And he did. He was a man of his word with me. You know, it just got to a point where I knew only one person was taking me to the end. Because I know me, when I get to the final three, it's hard for me to win those comps. And I'm that smart of a player where I know my flaws. And I'm like, yo, I need someone in that final three. Odds are I'm not winning those comps. Someone's got to take me, yo. And it was only Cody. There was no one else taking me. There was no one else going to take me but Cody. Memphis had Christmas. Christmas at Memphis. There was no way. Unless it was me, Memphis, and Cody, all right, then in the final three, then I got a good chance with Memphis, you know. But I really liked Memphis. He was, you know, he was a comp beast. He was smart. He had it all. Like, he had it all. And he came to play this season. You could tell
he was amazing. Nice.
He came up with.
What's and that? He was nice in the house. I mean, I felt like they grabbed your greatest hits and we got them, you know, every episode. And with Memphis, I don't think I think we got the worst of Memphis. But then you have Julie Chen on all the exit interviews going, and just know that Memphis was responsible for everything that happened.
Holy shit. Like everything bad that happened?
No, every elimination.
Every move.
Every move was like Julie Chen gave Memphis credit for on everyone's exit.
Yeah, I mean that's you're giving him a lot of credit, but I mean he played awesome. He did play awesome.
We didn't see that as viewers. Like we just saw his as viewers. They gave us the worst of him. Just like, this is my guy. He's really nice and cool. I promise.
Yeah, no, I was the only guy not in that big committee alliance. I was the only person that won HOHs against that alliance, and I was the only person that got to the end without that alliance. You know what I mean? Like I did it. You know what I mean? Against that whole big whatever the fuck it was, the whole committee thing and this and that. But well, you know, it was awesome. It was so surreal just being on an all-star scene. It was like everyone was like a gamer. Like this season was weird because it was like, to me, everyone just respected moves that people made. Like, there was nothing personal. Maybe the exception, maybe one or two people took it personally. But everyone knew, like, look, we're here to play. We're gamers here. And look, if I make a move on you and get rid of you, it is what it is, man. That's it. You know what I mean? And I think my only flaw was I should have been better, me thinking back now, in my goodbyes. I should have been more direct on how I was playing the game and why I did what I did. You know what I mean? A lot of times I do things and I don't explain it. I keep it to myself because sometimes I don't even trust CBS. I'm like, I don't even trust these people. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. You know what I mean? And I keep things to myself, but I should explain it to Memphis why I got rid of him. Like, you know what I mean? I voted him out. I should explain it, but I don't know. At the end, Cody was just too good. And I think he was just going to win no matter what. It is what it is.
Yeah. And so if you're playing for third place, why fuck it up by potentially giving something to production that will fuck you?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't giving them anything. Like, I tried to, I mean, they were upset at me because they wanted me to get rid of, I don't know if they wanted me to get rid of Nicole, but I think.
They wanted you to get rid of Nicole.
I think everyone wanted it because they wanted to change the whole, like, the trajectory of what how the season was going. You know what I mean? But, yo, I had it. Yo, I could have done any. I was in such a great position. I planted myself in such a great position where I just didn't have to do anything. I was just like, whatever. I was just, I won things in the beginning that put me in a good position, and then I just could have skated, and that's what I did. But there was moves I was making. I played a game, man. I always play that game. Every move I make is calculated for me.
Yeah, as Johnny's holding a meow meow of his own, dude, I would never take away from the game you played. It was certainly frustrating because we wanted like some of the power dynamic to be shaken up. But one of the moments that was most like salient to me that I'll always remember from this season was when you were doing your like final speech and you're talking to the jury and you're like pacing around, which I've never seen anyone pace around doing a final speech. You did it, and now I've seen Big Brother Canada do it, and you're saying, man, they're laughing at me, man. What's going on here? What was in your head during that whole moment?
They threw me off, and then they had a technical difficulty, CBS. The TV went blank. So now I'm only hearing them laughing. So now I'm thinking, yo, what is going on? And the TV's blank. I can't see the jury. I can hear Julie Chen a little bit, and I hear laughing. So I'm like, yo, are they laughing at me or what is going on? What's going on? And I'm looking back at Cody. He's like, nah, yo, the screen went blank. And then they came back on the screen. But then I kind of like messed my whole train of thought and messed my train of thought up.
You're 90 days in.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what the fuck? But it is what it was. Well, look, again, I don't think no matter what I would have said there, it was just that was it. Cody pretty much won everything towards the end, all the POVs, HOL, I mean, he was just winning everything. You know what I'm saying?
Anything he needed to.
Yes, exactly. You know what I mean? So there was no one clipping Cody out there because he was just going to win the POV. You know, so I was like, look, that was my dude from day one. That's who I was sticking with. I wanted to go to the end with him. Two Italian kids from Jersey. I'm like, this is it, bro. Like, me and him were both not on a block. Like, it was insane. It was on an all-star season. That's insane to me. It's insane.
So Cody plays dumb and may be dumb, but for the viewers that are sitting there watching going, you know, this guy's a dumb and made it so far. You know, you hear these stupid things he says, and I think a lot of those are boasted up for confessionals because you hear conversations with you guys in the HOH room, and he's like, so-and-so was voted out day 17 of their first season. On their second season, on day 22, they voted like you don't have fucking numbers like that in your head if you're a dum-dum.
No, he taught me the whole like thing of like having a timeline, and like he taught you had to have a timeline on day this, on that. I studied with him a lot. Like, he was mentally just focused. He was laser focused in it, in this game, and he was just tough. I'm like, yo, when he took me at the end, though, I had to console him because he was like, I don't know if I made the right choice. I don't know. I think you're gonna beat me. Everyone love. I was like, bro, I'm consoling him. I'm like, yo, you got this, bro. Trust me on this, yo. I may get a vote or two. I'm hoping for a bit of jury. I'm hoping for that. Like, I'm hoping, like, I got three votes. I just need two more. That's it. Because I was banking on a couple people I was, like, really tight in there with. But I think when I got rid of Dave, that's when, like, all right, Kevin, Davon, Dave, they were like, all right, Enzo was bullshitting us the whole season. And that's when it flipped on me. You know what I mean? I started seeing it. Even the questions that Dave was asking me and Davon, where she's like, you know, Enzo, I love you. I was like, ah, here we go. I was like, all right, the fix is in now, man. I played a perfect game to get to the end, but I'm like, nah, I got too cute. I got too cute. And I said, it's going to come back, man.
So do you think Cody plays dumb for confessionals just to get that fun, dumb edit?
Oh, you mean in when he's in the DR room?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he plays that up. Yeah, he plays that. He does that.
As I said, you watch the feeds or if you really pay attention to what they show, like, as I said, I've never a dum-dum cannot tell you something like, you know, someone that's played the game twice or, you know, it's just like, you know, on day 17, they voted like this. And then, you know, but then on their, like, you don't have that knowledge in your head if you're a dum-dum.
No, he's a good sport with that. He just plays to the cameras and plays. Yeah. to production or whatever, like, you know, but he's a sharp kid, man. He's definitely a sharp kid.
Yeah. Do you think that Cody broke the game? I've heard a lot of people say that Big Brother's ruined now because of the game that happened last season, that something's going to have to change because he enacted too perfect of a formula. How do you think Big Brother's going to adapt, or is someone going to try to steal Cody's game and just win every time?
I mean, look, he protected me a lot. I knew I had a lot of information that he didn't know about, that I let him know about. I think you need, no matter what anyone says, you need a dude in that house that's your guy, man, because you ain't going to get to the end of that game. You need that information. You need to know, like, he didn't know about that wise guys that me and Memphis had with Christmas. I told him about that because he had a final two deal. He had a final two deal with Memphis, and he thought, all right, Memphis is my guy. And Memphis wasn't really your guy because Memphis was playing. He was playing a game. So he would have never known that was about. And I said, yo, the only reason why I told Cody about that is because he told me about the committee. So I was like, all right, you told me about the committee. I'm going to give you this information about Memphis.
That pained me. So I was just like, don't tell him about the wise guys.
But my fault on that, I should have told Memphis in my goodbye speech to him saying, yo, I got rid of you because Cody told me about the committee and I told him about the wise guys. Instead, I told Cody I was going to do that. And then the last second I backed out, Cody used it on me and he flipped it on me and used it on me and said, I got rid of you because of the wise guys that you have with Enzo.
You got credit for that.
Yeah. So that's where I messed up too. You know, I got a little, I was like, I should do it. And then I kind of like backed out. I was like, I should have been more, I should have manned up more of my goodbyes. I think that burned me a lot at the end, but again, it's either now it's a, you know, it's everything's 2020 now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, like if you feel that strongly, it's just like, hey, if Cody's there, he's definitely winning. I'm playing like all I can do is fuck up second or third place. That's all I can do. And anything that you're saying, you know, even on a fucking goodbye could potentially be used against you by production.
Yes. You know what I mean? But I just thought, look, get to the final two, because anything can happen with the jury. A lot of time, you don't know what the hell the jury's doing. Look at my first season. It came down to me because I thought Hayden played way better than Lane. I love Lane. I thought Hayden from beginning to end was just played it just so differently. And then it was 3-3 and it came to me. And I'm just like, because you had bitter people in that jury. So I was just like, all right. And again, I haven't watched like Big Brother in a couple of years. I stopped watching it. And then I guess that hurt me too, because there was like those little things, like the goodbye messages. Now, I don't know if Cody's getting coached by someone in Cincinnati or whatever. I don't know. I didn't get coached by anybody. No one called me, nothing. I went in there as me, and I'm going to do this and get to the end. And I did, man. You know what I mean? I did. And I wasn't in no big alliance. I wasn't, but I was in alliance with everyone. Just me as me, but I wasn't in no like big alliance.
All right. Before we get to the big alliance question, let's get a word from our sponsors.
There you go.
By the time you feel thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. You can't focus and you feel tired.
Drinking enough water is critical for a healthy lifestyle that you're trying to maintain. It increases your brain power, boosts your productivity. It can prevent headaches and it'll increase your focus. Not only that, it improves your skin and mood, and it can help with your digestion and give you energy. Wow, it also prevents bad breath and can help you lose weight. But how much water should you drink each day? 10 cups? A gallon? The good news is that it doesn't have to be so complicated. That's why I start my day with Hydrant, because Hydrant helps you hydrate faster.
Hydrant has created a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently and effectively hydrate your body. It hydrates you quickly and keeps you going for longer. Each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes that your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc. And it packs a punch to help your body hydrate fast and stay hydrated. If you're looking for that extra boost of energy, there's also Hydrant Plus Caffeine, which contains 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea. Hydrant is backed by research. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist. It also is loved by pro athletes, top performers, celebrities, and has thousands of five-star reviews.
It's made with real fruit juice powder. It's delicious and refreshing, and it comes in a variety of flavors, including iced tea, lemonade, and fruit punch.
My favorite personally is the grapefruit. It's a classic and I go back to it. It's delicious. Plus, this stuff is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund. You really need to try it for yourself to see what I'm talking about. It tastes incredible and it works.
Well, Hydrant starts at just a buck a packet for a 30-day supply, and you save even more with a monthly subscription. And it's so easy to get. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save 25% off your first order. We're not kidding here, folks. 25%. Go to drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR for 25% off your first order. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR to save 25%. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you'll love, but without all the bad stuff.
We're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And there's only 140 calories a serving. This stuff's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, Birthday Cake. Birthday Cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so get it now while you can. You can also do the build your own box with available flavors to build your own custom bundle with cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon. If you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. Great news all around.
Go Zach, it's your birthday. Go Zach, it's your birthday. But also go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. Be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their products, it's backed by a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor. And use the code SURVIVOR to save $5. Thanks, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday.
And we are back. And Enzo, there's one question. You know, I was during the break, I was looking through my notes. I was looking at the chat. There's one question I got to ask. How did you become a door-to-door crayon salesman?
I think I explained it in the house. It was just an ad I saw in a paper. They dressed it up like it was like a sales position with the ability of moving up to manager. This is an ad. So I'm like, all right, let's go. I go there and it was like a boiler room type of thing. And I'm like, oh, all right. And they wouldn't say what we were doing, but they were explaining to us, this is how you do it. This is how you pitch it. Da, da, da. And then you go out with the trainee. I went out with this dude. And then when we went out to our stops or wherever we went, he was like, all right, we're going to be selling this stuff. And I'm like, what's this shit? He was like, crayons. I was like, crayons? What are you talking about, yo? I was like, nah, I ain't doing this shit, yo. But then I helped him out in a way where I was like, all right, I'll grab these 5, go on that side of the block. But then I would act like I'm going in the apartments and like ringing bells. But yeah, I would just like wait and then come out like, nah, ain't no one home. And then just went to the next house. I was like, yo, and that was it.
Do you have a favorite color?
Yeah.
What's your favorite color would be, I guess, blue. I like blue.
Well, there's blue in the commission t-shirt available at johnnyfairplay.com. And don't forget, with every purchase, you get a phone call from me, Johnny Fairplay, thanking you for your purchase.
That's the final 2 that you want? Do you want that final 2?
I was just so ready to make a t-shirt, and then episode one, they made the alliance, the commission. I'm just like, that's a cool name, you know. Yeah. And Memphis is my boy, and you know, I didn't really know that much about Cody, so I'm just like, oh, I'm making this shirt, and holy moly, like it's possibly the most hated t-shirt ever made at Johnny Fairfield.
Yeah. The three copies sold. Johnny's wearing one, Cody's got one, Memphis has the other.
Well, Memphis did a lot. I think he got all those names in when he was in sequester, because those are all mafia names. Those are all the commission, the committee, wise guys. Those were all real mafia family names.
He's trying to act like he's Jersey Italian. He's not. Get out.
So let's talk about the idea of the big alliance going into Big Brother. Did you get a phone call from anyone to be a part of an alliance? Because it seemed like you were on the outside looking in, but you became a part of this big alliance.
Yeah, no one called me, bro. Robin called me up and was like, look, we're doing some shit, this and that. We're cooking. I was like, I finally got the call, because I see a lot of these other people getting calls, like on Twitter. And when I had Twitter then, this and that, I'm like, there's a lot of rumors going around. You know what I mean? But no one ever.
No one.
But I started seeing this, though. This was weird. When like in my stories on Instagram, I started seeing past Big Brother house guests all of a sudden start peeping my stories now. So I was like, oh, like these people never peeped my story before. Now they're starting to peep my stories. So I was like, oh, okay, now I'm starting to see some things here, you know. So then I started putting two and two together. I was like, all right, that person got the call, that one got the call, this girl got the call, because I'm starting to see that now, you know. So no one called me. There was no pre-lie. I went in there as me. But again, when I saw Cody, I said, I know I'm in good hands with this dude, because I just knew. I just knew how loyal he was to Derek. And just being from Jersey, I just knew. And I met his parents one night, because I went to a Cody and Derek thing they did in the city. And I went out there, and I chilled with his mom and dad, his family, his brothers, his everybody. So I had that camaraderie with Cody. Yeah. So I was like, I know I'm good with this dude. And then my luck, he wins the first HOH. So there we go. Now I could use his HOH to start building relationships, because I know I'm safe that week. So things just fall into place for me in that game, man. Especially this season. Yeah.
People don't get that. Like little stuff like that. Like, you know, like there's been 500 plus survivors. But I know there's survivors that have met like my good friends or family members, or like my mom met Big Tom before I did. And my mom's like, Big Tom's good people. I'm like, okay, I assume that Big Tom's good people. I haven't met Big Tom. And then I meet Big Tom, and he's just like, hey. And I'm just like, my mom says you're good. You're good.
Yes, that's so, it.
Little shit exactly like that goes so far. And people don't think about little stuff like that. So do you think there was a big alliance going into All-Stars pre-game?
I was getting worried, because a lot of times – Cody would say that his mom talks to Nicole's F's mom. They would talk on the phone a lot. So I was like, oh shit. So is Derek involved? So did they call people up? Is Danny? Now at one point I was thinking Danny, Cody, Nicole F, maybe there's somebody else on the other side too. I was like, maybe they had something coming into this house. You start thinking that, because I'm like, yo, that's weird to me that you guys, you know, your mom's talk, and you know what I mean? Like that was weird to me. But I used that to my advantage, because I would be like, yo, Cody and Nicole are definitely had a pre-alliance. We gotta break that up. So I would always use that to mask me and Cody. I used that the whole season to mask me and Cody. So then they wouldn't think me and Cody were that close, you know what I mean? But then behind the scenes, I would tell Cody everything, what's going on, what's really going on in this house. It's me and you to the end, bro. You know what I mean? You have to have that, yo, you gotta have that. That girl or that guy, that ride or die in there, that's going to protect you. You need to know that information. You need to know. You need that pipeline, yo. You need that. If you ain't got it, you ain't going to survive, yo.
But do you think there was a pre-alliance going in?
I at this point, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know if Dan or Derek got involved and got on the horn and called Memphis up and told Cody, like Derek. I don't know. I really don't, because Cody's never told me. And Cody's never told me that. And Cody till this day says there was. He said he talked to Derek. He said he talked to Derek as far as is he going on the show or not. So I don't really know, you know. I don't know. But anyway, if there was, I broke that shit. So I got the man.
I mean, I'm like, hey, I mean, you know, there's rumor and innuendo and all that. But as I said, we saw from the whole the entire season, you're on the outside looking in. But like, it's not like you're not a part. Like you just like, you know, just throw a tentacle in, and you're just like, oh, I'm a part of this. It's okay. Don't worry that I didn't get a phone call.
Yeah, like I mean, I know people were calling each other. Like I know heads were calling each other. You going in and you go, because I think Josh was supposed to be on. I think Casey was. I think something happened to them. I'm pretty sure. Like imagine if they came in, they were going to be with Tyler. Like that would have been hard to crack. You know what I mean? So
yeah, anyone that's watched the challenge knows that.
Yeah, you know, they're tight. Oh, and Fessy, Kate, they're tight in there, man. And they got to the end. What, Fessy got to the end, right? He got all the way to the end on that.
Yeah, thankfully Fessy wasn't getting a call for Big Brother again. But stepping back, man, how stoked were you to get a call for All-Stars? Were you expecting something like that to happen, or was this totally out of the blue for you when you first heard about this concept? I mean, every year there's like rumors of Big Brother All-Stars is happening.
I thought I was going to get a call back years ago. So then that's when I was like, if I didn't then get years, I was like, that was it. It was over. Because they did call me back for the coaches. When it was the coaches with Dan and Brittany, this and that.
Yeah.
They called me for that. I was up for that. And I think something happened. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I just didn't get the call. Because she did. Robin reached out. And then they were thinking about something. But I never got the call back on that. So then I thought that was it. I was like, all right, that's it. And then when I got the call for this, I was like, fucking finally, yo. Let's go, man. Let me play this game again. Let me, because I want to be in there with the best of the best and see how I do and see how I with them and how I outdo them and get to the end. And, bro, again, I wanted the Dans. I wanted the Derricks in there. I wanted them in there. But, again, there was some really good players in there. There was legends in there. There was All-Stars. There was champions. And I did my thing and I got to the end.
And there was David.
Yeah, and it was David who, trust me, I love David. David's a good kid. I love him. It's just that he makes me laugh a lot, too. That dude made me laugh a lot, but it was just, you know what really, really got me mad at him? When he finally won that comp in the dark, he won that power or whatever, and he tried to make people, come on, bro, you're on a season with like, yo, you got like, icons in this house. You got legends. Yeah. There, all stuff. And you're trying to play us for fools, yo. Just admit it. I'm telling you, you would have got so much respect when you were like, yes, I won. I won. Finally, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, that's, again, a rookie mistake.
I get why you were mad about that, because you were the biggest source of humor the whole season until he did that. And then that was the funniest shit I watched all season. Was him.
I was like, bro, what are you doing? I'm your boy. I'm your boy. And you're lying to me about this. Now, I don't trust you, yo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't. That's why I was. And then he took the money on that POV comp. Yeah. That's when I was done. That's when I was like, yo, because I wanted that money. Because I took
everyone else going after the
money. I wanted that money. You know what I mean? That's 10 G's. You're on the block, bro. You shouldn't be doing it. And that's what really pissed me off. And that's why I was like, yo, that was going through my head when I made the vote too. I was like, nah, yo, this guy took the money. He's getting too cute. Nah, yo. I was like, because now if I keep him, you know what's going to happen? He's going to be the pawn now. He's going to go on the block all the time now, and he's never going to get evicted. And everyone that sits next to him is going home. That was going to happen. That's why I was like, I'm cutting this right now. He's done. And I love the kid. I love the kid. Yeah. I called him up and apologized to him because I felt bad because he was like crying. He said, I couldn't believe y'all. You were my boy. I couldn't believe you did that. I was like, my bad, bro. My bad, man.
You were killing humor wise. You were number one. And then David with the power and shitting the bed so hard. It was like, this is the funniest thing this season.
He was like, did you give it to me? Did you? All right, I'm going to use my power on you and not even tell you about it. So I gained nothing from it then. You know what I mean?
It was so painful. As if you're like, oh, please stop, but please keep going. Please keep going.
It's ridiculous, man. He learned nothing from Big Brother. But just moving forward, as we're starting to think about season 23, what do you think some of the players are going to take from your season, and how do you think people are going to come into Big Brother 23 and play? How do you think this game's going to look this summer?
I don't know. I think it's like I think it is a little bit. I think it could be 50-50 where like they saw the All-Star season. Some people are going to be going in there and try to like prove themselves, like make a name for themselves, become an All-Star like right off the bat. And that's a big mistake, man. And to me, I always say, you have to play the game in the beginning, but don't play too much, too heavy, too fast, Joe. But you have to play. You have to play. You have to. There's that fine line, though. Like, you just can't overplay. You overplay, yo. I'm telling you, especially in a rookie season, they're looking for any excuse to just throw you under the bus, especially in the beginning of that, you know?
What do you see as a potential way? I mean, like, a lot of people were upset with All-Stars because, like, you know, they're
the power shift. Yeah, the whole power shift. They want that to change.
Yeah. Do you feel like something in which it starts as two houses merging into one would potentially be a solvent to this? Or what do you think needs to happen to fix? I mean, like, I think something like that happens more so in an All-Star season, which there's phone calls happening beforehand, you know, versus a game of rookies in which, you know, more than likely, no one's exchanging conversations prior to going.
Yeah, because no one really knows anyone who's on it. Yeah,
but do you think just as a rule of thumb, like just to switch things up, do you like the idea of two houses merging into one?
I mean, look, that's why I like this season. I like that safety suite thing. That was cool because you had that extra incentive. Like, all right, I don't like this dude who's an HOH, or I don't like this girl's HOH. I'm going into that safety suite and I'm going to try to win. So it's an extra competition to save your ass. I like that. Something along those lines where you have an extra out. You have something where it's not like, all right, this guy wins HOH. You don't like me. I'm on the block. If I don't win a POV, I'm going home. Like that, you know what I mean? Like that's what's kind of a little flawed with BB to where it's like, that's what happened in this All-Star season. Whoever was on the block didn't win the POV this year and they went home. Whoever was the target did not win the POV and never changed the game up, never took themselves off the block, and that's it. And they just went home. So that's what made it kind of boring, too. So I don't know. I think they're going to come up with something, like I said, along those safety suite lines where I like that. I love having that pass where, all right, this guy's the HOH. I don't trust this dude. I'm going into this thing, you know. So I like that, but I don't know. I mean, I guess with the two houses too, that could be kind of cool too. Where if you do lose, you go into the house one. You play comps in that house. Is that to get back in?
I mean, I like the idea of two. I mean, like it's almost like a variation of Survivor. You know, you have the two tribes that later become one. You know, I like the idea of the twist. I mean, like, you know, and maybe double up the number of people where you have two simultaneous games going where it's, you know, like Big Brother starts with 16, right?
Yeah.
Let's say each house starts with 12 and they're just like, ooh, maybe there's four more people coming in later, but it's not because there's two houses of 12 playing simultaneous games.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, you got those people that get paid a lot of money to think of this shit like that. I just know I hate that, especially with this season. I hated that who's ever on the block was the target and went home because he didn't win the POV. Yeah. So there's got to be something to where we could make, you know, like look at Janelle. Janelle is an icon. I'm pretty sure a lot of people wanted to see her stay in that house and play.
That's right.
She didn't win the POV. She got knocked out early. She got knocked out early. And I know a lot of people, and I know probably CBS didn't want to see that.
No.
You know what I mean? So there's got to be something.
I'm very surprised we didn't get a battle back with Kacer or.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I thought we were thinking that. But I think the whole COVID thing probably fucked that all up too. I think CBS was just happy that they had a season and let's just get this season done, you know?
Yeah. Which is almost counterintuitive because it's just like, all right, you have the COVID. These people have been tested. They can't, you know, they're still in that bubble. They're there for a battle back, you know, more so.
You know, it's an All-Star season. I would have thought you should have a battle back. It's an All-Star season. You know what I mean? I thought there was definitely going to be that. I thought we were on a wall. We were on a wall there, and Julie said it. And guess what? There isn't. No one's ever coming back in the South. So I was like, oh, that really surprised me. I thought Janelle or Kacer was coming back in.
But if Janelle or Kacer come back in, does anything change? They're still.
They're going to be a target again right away. They're going to be the target again, and then that was it. You know what I mean?
Was there no working with them? Was it just based on resume?
I wanted to work with Janelle. I felt like me and her could have definitely bonded and worked well in that house because I knew she needed protection. Yeah. She definitely needed protection. And I know she saw that I had a lot of power in that house because everyone liked me. You know what I mean? And when you're well-liked like that, people are scared to put you on a block because they don't want to upset people in the house. I'm telling you, like, from a viewer, you're like, put them up, but this and that. In that, inside that house, it's a whole different dynamic. It's a whole different dynamic. So you don't, you have to watch what you do, every move. You have to watch. You got, it's like, it, I don't know how to explain it, but it's, I just know how to play the game when I'm in there. I just know exactly how to is. But I wanted to work with a Kayster, fucked that up, because Kayster came over. I was actually talking a little game to Janelle. Kayster comes over, this is in the beginning, and was like, heard how we were talking and like took Janelle away from the conversation and went to the other room, like saying, yo, watch what you say to him. So that's when I knew. I was like, yo, I can't fuck with her or him, because Kayster's in her ear. I just can't trust it. I can't trust it. So that's why I went after Kayster on my HOH. I went after him because I was like, yo, we haven't talked any game, and because of that move, I don't trust you. There's no trust there. You know what I mean? But then when I put him on a block, then now he's game talking to me. He's telling me this and that. So that's when I knew, I don't trust you, bro. That to me is a sign, and that's it. And I want them out of the house.
Yeah. So someone coming up, I mean, like, you know, when you're even a Survivor, Big Brother, you know, similar dynamics. Someone that you haven't talked to in however many days comes up, they're like, hey, man. It's just like, oh, don't hey, mammy now.
Exactly.
You've had 22 days to hey, mammy.
Yeah, it's fake. You know what I mean? And you could sniff that. You could see that. You know what I mean? So you got to be a people's person at house. You got to know when someone's straight up with you and someone's like, nah, I ain't buying what this dude's selling. I know there's something here. You know, he's coming off as a used car salesman. That's it. It's just, I don't trust that. You know,
I think you're the first person to describe the all loved Kayster as a used car salesman.
Hey, how dare you?
No, look, he's a good dude. I like the guys. Like I said, I liked everybody on the season. I really did. It was something about everybody. But yo, it was a game. We had to play this game, man. And let's go, man. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Shifting a little bit, Enzo, Peter Brown would kill me if I didn't ask you about the upcoming Big Brother.
Shout out to Peter. That's my guy.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the boxing event coming up and your bout against Godfrey?
He says, "Who Godfrey is a beast." Who said Godfrey's a beast? Peter said that?
No, Peter did not say that.
And I'm bringing it in.
Seven said that.
I feel good. Like I said, I don't know. I'm telling you right now, I think I'm training too much, because for 43 years old, like, bro, this, my shoulder hurts, my foot hurts, my this sparring get hit in the head, my knuckles hurt. So it's like, look, let's do this shit already and let's get it over with. You know what I mean? Like,
have you got a manicure for this or a pedicure?
My feet are jacked, and my toenails. We are fully
aware of how.
Yes, I'm losing toenails.
Are you familiar with the process of a pedicure?
I should get, yo, I think
they're great.
I think I'm going to get one. I think I need to get one.
Oh, I more than life itself, you need one.
Yo, my left toenail, my left big toenail hasn't grown back. It's been years. I haven't seen it. It hasn't grown back.
It's the rest of them that are the issue.
I got talons with fucking feet.
Get a pedicure. You want a dude. They massage your feet. They massage your feet.
Yeah, but I got women out there that want to see my feet. Like, I got foot stones.
We have heard. But I still think, like,
I got motherfucking foot stalkers, yo. Let's go.
Get a pedicure, but film it and start a fucking OnlyFans.
Everyone keeps telling me that, yo. I'm about to do that shit for real. I'll put like a cigarette in one of my feet and like have a conversation with my other foot. You know what I mean? Put a wig on the other foot. Like, you know what I mean? I could definitely come up with some weird shit. And the people or tune into that shit, man. I'm telling you, I get so many weird DMs from these feet people.
I am so glad that my DMs are different than yours.
Oh man, we had a Portia on from Big Brother 13, and she was talking about foot stalkers. She doesn't have the same weird foot stalkers you do. Yours sound much weirder.
Oh, she got, yeah, I'm pretty sure she got a bunch of stalkers. That one, she's a good looking girl, man. Portia, so yeah mine are a little. Yeah, mine a little, I mean, yo, but some of them actually are like one of them too is like good looking, but I'm just like, nah, they probably want to murder me. So I'm like, I gotta watch that. I gotta watch that. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it.
All right. Were you offered a, what's that big, what's the big banana company out there?
Out here in Jersey?
No, just anywhere. Like the
yeah. Chiquita. Was it Dumont or whatever the fuck is that? It is
Chiquita. Dumont.
Oh, that's it.
Did they reach out to you after the season? Be like, hey, let's do something.
No, I got a free bidet. I did get a free bidet. Some company reached out. Yeah. So I did get that. I got some free clothes from Duvin. Shout out to Duvin. They got me some free clothes because I was rocking Tyler's Duvin stuff. But yeah, the bidet, I still got to put it together. I don't even know how to fucking. I still have it in my bathroom. I just didn't put it together yet. I told you.
It's in your bathroom, but you haven't assembled it.
I just got to put it together, or I just have to pay someone to fucking do it.
Yeah, that's a plumber call. You don't want to improperly install a bidet, I assure you.
No, yeah, no. Or
you might get sprayed in the eyes by the bidet. Who knows? What's the worst that happens?
But I have to get that. I got to get that fixed because I love it. I fell in love with that fucking thing, man. I really did, bro. I fell in love with it and it changed my fucking life. Changed my life. I loved it, man.
So was that your favorite part of COVID and the quarantine? Was the adventation of the bidet to your life?
The bidet. I wish there was a single girl in there or two. Man, I wanted a fucking showman, but again, it probably would have fucked me up. It probably would have messed me up in that game. It would have messed me up.
Would you bring her to the bidet? I'd be like, hey, like, you want to get weird?
Yeah, you want to get weird, yo? Let's go. Sometimes I would go into the bathroom. I didn't have to shit or piss. I would just go in there, sit there, and just bidet my ass for like, whatever, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, just sit there. It was so relaxing. It really was. It was like, it was so relaxing, bro.
It's a thinking chair. Who knew? All right.
I love that thing.
He's just sitting there thinking about big moves.
didn't vote out anyone you wanted him to. He was too relaxed from the bidet, man. That's what was
going on. Man, that's it.
Holy moly. And so other than celebrity boxing, which we're definitely rooting for you.
Thank you, man.
Fuck your competition. But what do you got going on? What are you up to these days?
Bro, I just, like I said, this boxing thing took over my life. I do that every day. I go there every day. I try to take a day off, maybe a day. If I said do 2 days in a row, I take a day off because, again, it's grueling on the body. So I do that. I'm not working. I'm just like I said, with the whole COVID, I'm with my kids a lot. I'm doing that. Like I said, I made some really good money off of this season. So I'm just chilling. I'm just chilling, man. Like I said, I did a little movie part. With Candace Kane, that's Cody's girl, Cody's director. I did a little movie thing in there with that, but I'm just chilling, man. Like I said, I don't have anything in the works, really. I just this boxing thing, and that's it, you know. And I kind of like that, bro. I'm just chilling right now, and that's it. But who knows? Maybe a year or two from now, man. You never know. I'll go on something else. I'll go on an audition or whatever, or whatever. Someone reaches out. We'll see.
Well, so I do when Survivor's in play, I do the live viewing parties watching Survivor. I've already talked to Gisela from the Challenge. She's gonna be joining me for a Challenge viewing party. Enzo, would you like to join me for a Big Brother viewing party?
What is that? Like, what are we just chill and
go to a brewery or a club and watch Big Brother with the fans.
Oh, we fly out to some place and we just we go chill. Gotta see with the kids and this and that, but man, shit, I'm willing to take a fucking vacation, bro, just to go somewhere, bro, just all to right, get out of here, man.
Let's make that happen. Hey, the premiere is coming up, not too far.
Yeah, July 7th, right? July 7th it is. Yeah.
Oh, July 7th, we are in the middle of filming a documentary. Of course, they picked them one day. Wait, hey, it does have to be the premiere. Let's let's make this happen. I mean, I want to hang out with you. The fans want to hang out with you. Let's bring you everybody.
Drink, chill, definitely, bro. You know what I mean? Again, it's just with the kids, and if everything works out, then that's it. I'm out, yo, no doubt.
I love it. Excellent.
And when is the boxing event? Is there a date on that yet?
I think they're holding back on a date because some of the fighters are on the Challenge right now, and I think they want that season to be over with. Because you never know if somebody gets hurt on the Challenge or whatnot. So they don't want to make a date. They want to wait till see everyone is alive, everyone is good, and then they're going to make a date. So it could be, I don't know if it's the end of July or in August at some point at this point.
I think everyone just got back like this week, guaranteed. Like Michelle Fitzgerald just reactivated her Twitter. On an unrelated note,
first rewind 30 seconds and skip forward 30 seconds. That'd be great.
What? Are you talking about my good friend Michelle Fitzgerald from Survivor Winners at War? And
I'm sure she'll do fantastic on the challenge and not be reactivating her social media before the challenge is done filming.
Okay. Yep. Fair enough.
Yep. Okay. Well,
right. With that, Enzo, man, it's been too long.
I know, bro. A decade. I feel like I'm in better shape now than I was 10 years ago because I was married, fucking married, and then you dad bod and all that shit. I'm in the best shape of my life, man. I feel good.
I got a question. Are you still smoking?
No, I don't. Like I said, this whole boxing thing. I don't even drink. I don't even fucking even drink real drink liquor. Well, I may have a beer here and there, like out like at dinner if I go out to dinner here or there. But nah, man, this whole fucking thing's taking my life over, man. It's crazy. There's only three rounds. Three rounds, 2 minute rounds. It's gonna go like this, but yet, you know what I mean? Like I'm stressing my whole fucking body out for this whole shit, which I'm like, come on, yo, enough, yo.
But you didn't get to smoke on All Stars, right?
No, you can't. I was like, yo, it's legal out in Cali. The fuck, yo, why can't we?
Cigarettes, like on All Stars.
I don't smoke cigarettes. No, I don't smoke cigarettes.
Back in the day, you did.
Maybe high school. Yeah.
You smoked at a couple parties.
Did I? I don't. It might have been weed then.
Okay.
I don't really. Cigarette to me. Maybe if I was real drunk, maybe I'd have like one or a Black & Mild, like a cigar or something like that. But
okay, maybe that was it. Okay.
Yeah, fair enough. You know what I mean? Weed is, you know, that's good for you. Weed. That's a good thing. You know?
That's the word on the street. Yeah, so starting July 1st in Virginia, we are hopefully.
How far of a ride is that from Jersey to Virginia? Let's say if I was to drive
8 hours.
Oh, fuck that.
it's a cheap flight. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, it's a flight. Yeah, that's it.
We'll get here.
We'll work something out, bro. Trust me on that, man.
We will.
Awesome. Enzo, thank you so much for coming on, man. It was so cool to get to meet you. You are one of the highlights of Big Brother, especially in recent years. So very cool to hear from you, man.
Thank you, Zach, bro. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Zach, bro. It was awesome. Like I said, it was like off a whim real quick. You did it, but I couldn't do it yesterday, but today we did it. It was fun, bro. And we'll get up. After this whole boxing thing shit too, because I really can't drink right now. You know what I mean? I really can't drink. So I say we should wait till after the boxing thing's over and then fucking let's go, you know?
Let's do it. Godfrey Manguiz is going down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Place your bets now. If you can FanDuel this, put your money on it. Let's
go, yo. Let's go, man.
Easy money.
I don't know this dude like a hole in the wall, but you know what?
That's all right.
I think he's like 26. He's 26.
It doesn't matter. You got big moves. You've been saving them.
That's it, bro. Let's go. After
drinking and smoking cigarettes, you got him. Don't worry.
That's it, bro. Let's just go at it, bro. You hit me, I hit you. Whoever falls, man. That's it.
I love it. Hey, everybody, click that subscribe button. Become a patron at adfreensfw.com and get excited. Our coverage is just now beginning. We're looking forward to the new season, Big Brother. As I said, subscribe now and get ready. More to come each and every week here at realitynsfw.com.
Cheers. Good night.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made by people, not patients, Lucy's created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually does taste great, and it's convenient and discreet,
Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. I'm so excited that Lucy is sponsoring us because one of my best friends in the world, he's trying to quit smoking. His girlfriend's been getting on him for years. He's a big menthol smoker. And the wintergreen flavor is a really nice substitute for him that he absolutely loves. So this is the thing that you need to check out if you've been trying to kick your tobacco habits.
I have a family member that's tried the pomegranate, and they say it's one of the greatest tasting gums they've ever had. We're not talking nicotine gum. We're talking any gum. So if you've been discouraged by other nicotine gums, try the pomegranate. And also for the lozenge, the cherry ice is allegedly the best. And you know what? I believe them. But as far as enjoying anywhere, I heard at the gym, you get a little extra bump from the lozenge and from the gum.
Boom. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, and a subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum and lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.co. That's right, CO, and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Breaking news! This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they've successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we're one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems as if Manscaped worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, I've had my moments in the past where I tried to use the old disposable razor, tried to do some shaving. Oh my God, it looked like a 1980s NWA world title match. Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes wearing the Crimson Mask. Not anymore. No way, Jose. Oh my God, we're talking what makes this trimmer different than the other trimmers. It's a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock created for people who like to travel like me. I'm in Miami once a month for wrestling. I got Paola from 90 Day Fiancé. She's not checking out my balls, but if she did, oh, I would be ready. Now, we also have the Lawnmower 4.0 giving you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. And the new trimmer allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard links with sizes 1 through 4. And looks wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish. Even features a hot foil stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud.
The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is also waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on your bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So here you go. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you.
Now that the holidays are over, it's all too common to set health goals that never actually stick. New Year's resolutions of the past, we're looking at you. And when it comes to eating better and consuming less sugar, let's be honest, most healthy snacks don't taste very good. They don't fill you up, and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. This episode is sponsored by Monk Pack, who make snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with 1 gram of sugar or less.
Monk Pack Keto Granola Bars contain just 1 gram of sugar, 2 grams of net carbs, and they're only 140 calories.
They're great for anyone following a keto lifestyle, but also the perfect snack for anyone who is trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste.
Yeah, I am a huge fan of these bars. I start my morning off with one every day. I mean, I'm watching shows like The Challenge, and I want to be a beast like CT. I need these Monk bars to start my day because they give me the energy and the power to push through some tough workouts, and I'm a huge fan.
I think CT could have used the Monk Pack Keto Granola Bars. I mean, they have soft and chewy texture. They come in delicious flavors like coconut cocoa chip, maple pecan, and my favorite, peanut butter.
Ooh, they're so good, and they're perfect for a quick breakfast, a snack between Zoom calls, or a late-night treat that you don't have to feel guilty about. In addition to being keto-friendly, the bars are also gluten-free, grain-free, plant-based, and non-GMO, with no soy, trans fats, sugar, alcohols, or artificial colors.
Hey, they taste incredible, and you can't beat the low-sugar nutrition or taste that they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door.
Try it for yourself and you'll see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering our code SURVIVOR at checkout.
Yeah, and Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer. So to get started, just go to monkpack.com. That's MUNKPACK.com and select any product and then use promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that at checkout for 20% off your purchase.
Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious foods you can count on. And we thank them for sponsoring Reality NSFW.